Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jabberwocky's great. You just started late after my check was over. Oh boy, did it startle you?
No. Watch me mess up this intro.
That's the idea.
Here we go.
Brothers, sisters, siblings, welcome to Penn Sunday School. I'm your host, Moxie Gillette, filling in for Matt Donnelly, coming from you live from Show Creator Studio South in Las Vegas, Nevada. Today we'll be talking about my crazy father, my wacky uncle, and our adventures together. Here he is, preaching love, Penn Gillette.
Wow, you remembered my name. Nicely done. Nicely done. Here I am preaching love, filling in for Matt Donnelly.
Yeah. Better than Matt Donnelly.
Moxie Gillette. Well, so far.
Yeah.
So far, much better. Much better. Now, you have a lot to talk about.
I do.
Because you went to Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. Edinburgh. Edinburgh. And you got there with 9 minutes to spare.
About 10, yeah.
Yeah. And then had never seen the theater before.
Never seen the theater.
And went and do
lost my luggage.
Did a two-person magic show.
And did a two-person magic
What's
show.
What's it like to do a two-person magic show?
Oh, wouldn't you love to know? It was chaotic. It was painful. It was the worst and best experience of my entire life.
Now you're doing Dickens.
Yeah.
What was the best parts of it?
I had a lot of new experiences that I didn't think I would have. I got yelled at a lot.
Yelled at by who?
Techies and my business partner and myself.
From things you screwed up in the show?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, there's video of the show. There's times, I think you know this very well, there's times in the show you can just see me go, oh, fuck.
No, I try to conceal my mistakes or explain them in detail.
Well, I wasn't mic'd, so I could curse under my breath going, fuck.
There have been times when Teller has walked off stage as though there was no audio that could come out of him magically because he wasn't mic'd and gone, fuck, 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 fuck. So you hear Teller walk off stage, then you hear someone backstage screaming fuck, fuck, fuck through the muffled curtains.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's true show business right there.
Yeah.
Leaving your mic on or something. He doesn't even have a mic.
That's what I mean.
No, I know. Mic.
Just hear him screaming.
Does he think that backstage is soundproof?
I think he doesn't think is the answer. I think he just does.
Well, our backstage at the space.
Yeah, where did you go? Because I saw two of the shows.
Yes.
And I hope you appreciate how hard it was for me to see those shows.
I know. Oh,
but
God.
I didn't do it for you. I did it for me, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, I did finish taping.
You too, I guess.
No. I didn't mean
I'm not coming to your show again tonight then. I was planning to come to your show tonight.
No, I didn't mean. I tried to say that nicely.
Oh, you didn't,
I was saying the opposite. I was saying something very, very nice. I was saying I wanted to see you. I didn't think it was my duty to see you. You understand the difference?
You chose to have that duty when you became a father.
Exactly. But I did it. Never mind. I wanted to go see you, but it was very, very difficult.
I wanted to go see you, Moxie. You're my favorite child. I love you so much. I wanted to be so proud of you.
You're reading my mind. I didn't want to be so proud of you. I was so proud of you. But I did 20 shows of Fool Us in 2 weeks, which is
amazing.
Which
I
is a lot.
Say that. We both worked very hard in the month of August.
Yep. And then I traveled 18 hours, saw your show twice. And of course, your mother wanted us to take time in between and go to Disneyland or something.
Yeah.
You know, but I wanted to sleep during the day and see your show at night. And I saw it twice.
She dragged us everywhere.
Where did you go when you went backstage? What was backstage like? Because where were you playing? It was just like a room.
It was a room that happened to have a stage and a couple seats in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. And then our technician, our lovely technician, Kirsty, was at the back. She was my savior, my hero, my everything. At the back at a fold-up table and a laptop that she had to get from Cameron.
I see.
So we had some top-of-the-line stuff, and our backstage had windows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we had windows back there that we had to close every night before the show because you could hear people talking
from
outside. It was two walls. It was a corner, basically, that other people's stuff had been stored in. So I tripped backstage once.
So talk about the material you did in the Young and Moxie show, which incidentally was sold out.
It was sold out.
Although you didn't read them because your father taught you well.
Mm-hmm,
you got very good reviews, right?
Yes.
And you also won some award.
We won a... Oh, God, of course I forget it right now.
Mm-hmm.
We won a award for the...
Best magic show in Edinburgh or something.
No. Don't do me that good. It was best magic show in the space is what it was. Because we were the only magic show in the space.
That's a way to win.
Yeah.
That's a way to win.
At least I believe we were the only magic show in the space. But I have no proof of that.
When you say the space, you mean that's the name of the
space. That's the name of the space.
Like the band.
Yeah.
Like the band was the name of the band.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
You never heard the band?
I'm sorry.
They were called the band that backed up Bob Dylan. Then when they didn't play with Bob Dylan, they just called themselves the band. So it was Bob Dylan and the band. But the band was actually the name of the band. Before that, they were the Hawks.
Yeah.
Not very nerdy.
It is very nerdy. You're a Bob Dylan nerd.
No, very, very old.
Same thing.
Anybody? No, there were plenty of people my age that are nerds. There were, if you were over 50, would you say, Reddy, you would know the band?
Probably 55, yeah.
If you're over 55.
55?
55. This is a very strange thing for me now. In the past.
Why? Because you have a teenage child that's hosting your show?
That's really weird. You have no idea how completely psychedelic that is. Because when you are a teenager, you think that your parents and old people were like planning to be parents and old people.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was your age, I would never picture that I would be hosting something with a teenage child. Yeah. That's insane to me. That I'm just talking to a...
You're talking to your child. This is how we do conversations at home at midnight when we're both trying to desperately find snacks to eat.
Yeah, I like snacks. I do like snacks. But I forgot what I was... Oh, yeah. For in the past year, I've had this very strange experience. For 50 years, the only people who did my material, stuff that I'd written and I'd invented...
Were people that were stole
thieves,
it?
Were thieves. And there was a guy, now dead, who did...
Is that your fault?
No. I have a complete alibi, who did some of our material in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy, who I wish were dead, who did a lot of my material on The Tonight Show and Saturday Night Live, and then toured with it all over my juggling routine.
Did he ever think your DNA would be doing your...
No, but that's what I'm trying to get to here.
I'm interrupting you.
No, that's fine. That's what you do. That's what you've been doing. That's what you've been doing since birth, interrupting me. Exactly. But the past year, there are a bunch of people doing my material with my blessing. There's a show, The Fooler's Tour.
Yes.
Which is, you can look up, do we know the website, Reddy?
Foolerslive.com.
Thank you.
Foolerslive.com. The Fooler's Tour, which is Matt Donnelly, who you're filling in for.
My favorite person.
You love Matt Donnelly.
Matt Donnelly, Vinny Grosso, Jessica James. One of those.
JJ. They're in the East.
And
there, the
there's
Northeast.
One more. Alex, what's
Alex
the
Ramone.
Name? Ramone.
Wonderful, wonderful show.
Now, is he part of the band too?
Yeah. I'm very excited because you and I are going to see the show Tuesday night at the Bergen Arts Center or something it's called.
I don't know. You've never told me.
Inglewood, New Jersey. We're flying
Jersey.
in. We're flying to Monday night.
I know.
And then Tuesday, we'll do our sound check in the afternoon.
Sound check.
And we're going to do a new trick. We've done it once.
We technically twice, but the first time
was for Tony.
Was for Tony. Mm. We'll do it for Tony.
Yeah. We wrote this trick with Teller.
Yeah.
In the dressing room at the Bozo Studios at WGN in Chicago.
Where you both checked your Apple Watches on live television.
Yeah, we were on live television. You were standing next to the long-suffering Glenn. And Teller was checking his Apple Watch.
No. He not only checked it, he answered it.
Right. while we were being interviewed.
Yeah.
Which is rude if you're just being talked to.
He wasn't being talked to.
No,
though.
But if you're simply being talked to, it's incredibly rude. If you're on live TV on someone's show, it's a whole other level really old and I don't give a fuck.
No. You also have a level of I'm really old and I don't give a fuck because in the middle of the show you went, oh, it thinks I had a heart attack. Oh, look, Tony's calling me.
Well, it thought Teller had a heart attack because Teller moved
He moved
briskly.
A little too much.
He
His
moved
bones
briskly,
pattern.
Yeah. And he got the alarm. So he had to rectify that. He had to explain to the – are you drinking like an energy drink?
Yes.
So you're going to be jacked up to high heaven?
Yeah.
Why are you drinking? That's really not healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. The guy that stole our material that died from speeding his brains out. So now you're going to be
on
like Johnny.
On speed or this?
On crystal meth, which is a very, very, very big similar, step down from this. Very big step down from this. And then when I was on live
Tastes
TV.
Like fruit punch.
When I was on live TV. Yeah, caffeine has. Is caffeine have no taste, Ready Rich? I think it has no taste at all, right?
I don't think so.
I don't know how I would know that.
Okay, well, you sometimes know things. I'll tell you a story about crazy friends of our friends. You know the lovely and talented Tim Jennison.
I do.
You know Tim's Vermeer, the movie we made
about. Where is he? He's behind me, right? Yeah, he's behind me.
We made a movie about Tim. And that movie's very good, and you should watch it again.
I did watch it.
I know. You watched it when you were like 8.
I didn't hear the again. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
Tim Jennison.
Caffeine apparently has a bitter taste.
Okay. So they mask it with a great deal of sweet, right?
Called fruit punch.
Yep.
Yep. Tim Jennison is an eccentric billionaire. And he has a lot of friends who are eccentric millionaires.
It's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, exactly. He has a utility belt. You've seen him wear it. He does. He has a utility belt with all these nerd gadgets on it. And Tim Jennison has a friend. Oh, this is totally the wrong story. This is an inappropriate story to what we're talking about. I confused caffeine with nicotine. But
I've never done nicotine, and that sentence alone is how you know I've never.
But I'll tell the story anyway, because I started it, and it's a good story. But nicotine, as you may know.
Tastes different than caffeine.
Yeah, is very.
Thank you, Ready Rich.
Very powerful.
Yes.
Very powerful.
Yes, I have a lot of friends who smoked.
No, but the dosage is incredibly low to get you the reaction. And so he had this friend. Who had quit smoking, but still liked nicotine.
Okay.
Now, remember, this guy is worth
a kajillion.
$100 million, yeah. this friend. But
friend
he's
of Bruce Wayne. Yeah.
He's also, like all of Tim's friends, present company excluded, very, very smart. And he...
No, present company included.
He did not want to. He did not want to buy nicotine patches. He did not
gum?
He did not want to buy nicotine gum, did not want to vape because he thought it was all too expensive because nicotine is really cheap. So he would buy insecticide grade nicotine because
Wait, you're fucking kidding, right?
No. The story gets worse. Nicotine is an insecticide because that's why nicotine exists.
Yeah.
The tobacco plants would produce nicotine. In order to discourage and kill the insects that would devour them.
Mm-hmm.
So in the battle,
and they get high off their ass
between insects and plants, they've created poison. Some of them work for us, and one of them was nicotine. And then we learned with Sir Walter Raleigh and the Native Americans, the indigenous Americans, to smoke it,
yeah.
Get the nicotine, which does that nerve thing that it does that people like, speeds them up and calms them down simultaneously. Very, very creepy, weird drug. So he would buy, and so when they're making insecticides, they will concentrate the nicotine that the plants made themselves, spray it on other plants, and use it to discourage the insects from eating their crops.
Yeah.
So they make this really powerful nicotine that's pure nicotine.
Yeah, it's literally, it's to kill bugs, right?
Yeah. It's an insecticide. He would buy insecticide nicotine, pure nicotine. Then he would carry it in a little packet, right? And then he would sprinkle, it's like salt. He would sprinkle like 8 grains on his palm. Then he would count out 5 grains, moisten his finger, pick up those 5 grains with it, lick them, and brush the rest off his hands. Because the amount that was in his hands would very likely kill him. So he did dosage. He did his dosage of insecticide-grade nicotine instead of buying patches.
And he's dead, right? He's not?
Mm-mm. He is not the same friend of Tim Jenison, who also wealthy man, also crazy and also smart, who got really interested in, and Red, you should chime in on this a lot. Capsaicin, right? Capsaicin?
Capsaicin.
Yeah, capsaicin is the spice.
Capsaicin. He got very interested in capsaicin and wanted the strongest he could possibly get. Wanted the absolute strongest
he could. What kind of a masochist?
Exactly. So he didn't want to, wait a minute, this is going to go, oh, what do you got? Reddy Rich is bringing me something here. Reddy Rich is bringing me, they're not strawberries.
They're Carolina Reapers.
They're Carolina Reapers, which he has in his refrigerator.
Just, okay. You know.
Carolina.
Why?
Because he eats them. Why? He likes them. How much do you eat of these, Reddy?
About one a week.
About one a week. You chop it up real fine?
Yep.
Okay.
You don't take it whole?
I don't.
You don't?
We're unpleasant whole.
That's what she said.
Well, this this fella.
I just realized who I made that joke to, and I'm so sorry, Ted.
This assistant. He went to his assistant. He had an executive assistant,
mm-hmm.
and said, "Get me the strongest capsaicin that you can." Yeah. So the assistant wasn't thinking in terms of spices. He went right to the manufacturer.
Whoa.
Okay. And he got the stuff, the capsaicin, I guess pure. Would that be right, Reddy?
Yeah, it's a product in a bottle.
Yeah. That he would... that they would use to put into stuff to make it spicy.
It's terrible.
Yeah. And
are you going to put the Carolina Reapers back in your fridge?
Nope.
They'll go bad. We need to eat them right now.
Oh. Take one for the team.
So have you had capsaicin pure?
Yeah, it's awful. I don't recommend it.
Right.
What's it taste like? Is it bitter like caffeine?
It just burns the shit out of you.
It tastes like medicine because it is.
And he put his assistant delivered that to him. As a hot sauce, and he put a lot of it on a cracker, ate it, and went to the emergency room. What is the dosage you would have to get to go to the emergency room there?
Depends on the person, but I would say maybe an eighth of a teaspoon would be a real problem.
Yeah.
Eighth of a teaspoon is a problem?
Yeah. So he put an eighth of a teaspoon or so on a cracker, and off he went to the emergency room.
Wow.
So... with nicotine,
capsaicin.
Capsaicin.
There you go.
Be careful. And you have a lot of caffeine in your monster drink there.
Thank you.
So, be careful with that
I'll sprinkle
caffeine.
A little bit of capsaicin, put a little bit of nicotine in it, and I'll be good to go.
Insecticide nicotine. Now, I want to say, since we're saying this, Reddy, we should probably, although we've said on this show so many ways to fuck yourself up, this shouldn't make a difference, but don't do the insecticide-grade nicotine.
Don't. I'm going to look directly at the camera. Don't do any of it.
Wrong camera.
That one.
Yep.
Hey.
Okay.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, it's a very, very weird thing because for 50 years, 55 years...
We're back on the topic of you having a child.
I do that. No, I'm not. No, you forgot what the actual topic was. I have not, because I'm still really good at this. Even at 68 years old, I can come back to topics.
Proud of you.
For 55 years, I created stuff and I presented the stuff myself.
Mm-hmm.
There are exceptions. I wrote movies and TV shows and stuff like that where other people did things that I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also done bits with Teller, for instance, that are my idea that Teller does what I say. And I've also done bits with Piff and so on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I mean, really the vast, vast majority of stuff I've done, I write it for myself.
Yeah.
And I do it. And because of the Foolers Tour, foolerslive.com, mm-hmm. going out, we decided to give them some of our material.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are they doing? They're doing...
Doing a lot.
Nail Gun.
Right.
Vanishing Chicken?
Nail Gun, Misdirection, which is also called The Vanishing Chicken. Nail Gun, Misdirection, Casey at the Bat, which is also called The Straitjacket Escape, which you never saw us do live.
No.
I don't think we did it live since you were born.
And you gave him the bullet catch.
No, you didn't give him the bullet.
Magic Bullets.
Magic Bullet. He always corrects us. And the Light Heavy Box.
Yeah.
And I think they might be doing something else of our material. Boy, you know, I didn't know what that was going to feel like. We made that decision long ago.
What does it feel like?
And I'll tell you, it's complicated. It's a strange world.
Let me tell you about it.
Blockhead.
They're doing the Blockhead thing.
Doing Blockhead?
Yeah.
Thanks, chat.
Thank you, chat.
Which is a, those are all really good tricks of ours.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
Trick?
Not Blockhead needle nail up the nose, but Blockhead, the cement block.
Got it.
Where
okay.
the glasses appear on the person's head.
Got it. Okay.
In our case, Teller's head. So they're doing these tricks, right?
Yeah.
So it's a weird thing that happens. They're going to go on stage and they're going to do stuff that I've done for years. And gotten a good reaction with.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, well, if it goes really, really well, I'm a good writer. But if it goes really, really badly, I'm a good performer. I'm a good performer,
yeah.
right? So you kind of want it to go really well, but not as well as when I do.
Yeah, which would you prefer? Better actor, better writer?
My sister... who you just barely knew. She died when you were three.
Three or four, yeah.
Thea. But you knew her. My sister, who one might believe knew me as well as anyone in the world, my sister always said, now this is when I was performing on Broadway, and I think it was before I'd written any books, my sister said to me, I've always, and this is an odd thing to say, because she was seeing me juggle when I was 12 years old. My sister said, I've always seen you as a writer. I've always thought that what you do best and what you're happiest with is writing. So, that's not true. Oh, okay, another thing. Magic Goes Wrong, the show that we did with Wrong Boys.
The Wrong Brothers.
What's their real name? Mischief or something.
I don't know. They do a play that goes wrong, Bank Heist that goes wrong.
No, it's called the comedy about the bank robbery.
No, it's bank robbery that goes wrong.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's a comedy about a bank robbery.
Well, then play that goes wrong.
Play that goes wrong. Peter Pan goes wrong. Show goes wrong. They've done all the goes wrong things. It just happens the bank robbery goes wrong is goes wrong. They titled it something else because they were sick of goes wrong.
If you have a brand, stick to it.
Well, I could not agree less with that.
Oh, okay.
I think if you...
Then I changed my opinion.
I don't like the word brand at all. The idea of reducing art to a brand makes me so sad. And also, when you have something that people know you for in art, not if you're fucking Coca-Cola. If you're Coca-Cola, hey, Coca-Cola, keep doing what you're doing.
You were talking about Coca-Cola the other day.
I know. Selling sugar water to people at 100%, 900%, 1,000% markup, more than that, right? I think the actual Coca-Cola in the Coca-Cola, they can't even figure how much that costs. Is that right? Ready?
Just laughs at us.
I have no idea.
Okay. I think when they sell fountain Coca-Cola, the price of the syrup in each serving is so low, they don't even bother calculating it. Oh. It's just the cups and the machines is all they care about. Anyway, Coca-Cola.
There's also science behind like the bottle, the can, the fountain, like what tastes better.
Well, you know, we have this kind of argument thing. All the time.
We don't have this
your
argument.
Your mother claims she can tell Diet Pepsi from Diet Coke.
Okay.
She can't.
You can't say that on here. She'll find out.
No, she won't listen. She doesn't. Oh. Well, she will listen because you're on it. But normally, yeah.
Then shut your mouth before we both get killed.
But Glenn Ally claims he can tell fountain Coke from bottled Coke from canned Coke.
Well, he's got the, what's it, the
eidetic memory, but that isn't related to this at all. You just wanted to show off with a word you didn't know.
Well, also because I recently learned it, and I think that's one of the coolest things. He went from being your manager to one of my favorite people.
I know. You've been liking Glenn lately.
I know. He's calling me special needs.
he is calling you that.
I'm a special needs kid to him, and he is my favorite person.
Yep. So a brand is for something like Coca-Cola that has, and you could argue with this, I suppose.
Is a company?
You could argue that there was some art in Coca-Cola in that it's not necessary. And Teller says art is whatever you do after the chores are done.
Yeah.
So you certainly don't need Coca-Cola for sustenance. So you could argue there's a small amount of art in the advertising. But let's throw that argument out.
Okay. And just I'm sorry I called the people you worked with a brand. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think they're doing art.
You're right. I agree with you. I'm saying that I thought that having their things named similar would
everybody,
be nice.
Everybody else would call that a brand. Glenn would call that a brand, everybody.
Sorry.
But I bristle at it. You know why I bristle at it, probably? I'll tell you why. My voice kept going up, didn't it? You thought it was never going to stop.
You know why I bristle at it?
I'll tell you why. The person who used that the most in my presence was Donald Trump. Mm. And when he used the word brand for things that I did, it made me feel sick and like I didn't want to be doing my job. Donald Trump's way of looking at the world is just what can fucking help me. And I will quote myself, which is an obnoxious thing to do. But I wrote an article.
What's your line? What's your line that I love? If Donald Trump can quote...
Donald Trump can quote Mussolini.
I can quote Stalin.
from our show. But at any rate, Donald Trump, I wrote about him. We did a bit when we were on Celebrity Apprentice. And listen, people, I swear I didn't know that Celebrity Apprentice was going to help that psychotic become president. I didn't know it. I just didn't know it. But I did Celebrity Apprentice.
You're defending yourself for something that couldn't have been foreseen ever.
Right. But when we were on Celebrity Apprentice, I did a thing with the Blue Man Group.
Yes.
And the Blue Man Group, as we all know, are brilliant.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And there's like 47 of them.
Well, quiet, stupid.
Stop making that noise.
There's actually like 150. But nobody knows that. There's only three. How can there only be three in Chicago and in New York and in Tokyo all at once? Shut up. That's the answer to that. Shut up, I explained. Anyway, so the Blue Man Group had come on and done this wonderful thing that we did together where they delivered $10,000 in cash.
Yeah.
They delivered it with a leaf blower, blowing it all over everything.
Wow.
And it was really beautiful and really surprising. and we miss some of the money for our team because people in the park, mostly people without homes, picked it up, which is great.
That's
Instead
good.
Of giving the money to Donald Trump, we gave it to people who actually needed it.
Yeah.
Although Donald Trump has always been a broke-ass bitch, but that's not important.
A small loan of $1 million?
So we blew this money around, and Donald Trump then attacked me, and not the boardroom. It was the set of the boardroom, because Donald Trump's whole empire, as we're finding out in the New York case, is make-believe. So we're in the set of a boardroom pretending he was a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote an article about how I was so heartbroken that that beautiful piece of art that I was a small part of creating with the Blue Man Group,
yeah,
and that got on TV looking beautiful,
mm-hmm,
was misunderstood. And I wrote this sentence, which I think ended up being rather prescient about who we found him out to be.
Yeah.
I wrote, trying to explain art to Donald Trump is like trying to explain art to Donald Trump.
That's good. That's really good.
I sat there and tried to explain to Donald Trump what beauty was. And I don't think everybody else gave up trying to explain anything to Donald Trump. But at that time, I was still trying to explain. Don't forget, Don Jr. said he thought I was the only person that ever liked his father.
That's
and
great.
He didn't make an exception.
And then now himself. You're number seven, right? On the
No. In 2016, the New York Times, I guess Donald Trump calls them the failed New York Times, did a list only in 2016 when he was running. They did a list of.
He was running in 2016? That's weird.
That's when he ran for president.
I know. That's.
Maybe 2015 he ran for president, right?
I don't know.
2016 he supposedly won. But then, when he was running for president, when we thought there was no chance, the New York Times, the failed New York Times, did a list of Donald Trump's hate list.
Oh,
the people he hated the most in the world, based on their research of his tweets. Who did he do the most hateful tweets about at that time?
Yeah.
And I was number seven on the list.
Above Hillary.
Well, don't you take my punchline.
Do your punchline.
One above Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And one of the things he said about our show was terrible. So we played Broadway, incidentally, in a sold-out show that for 1 week was doing better than Hamilton only because they were in previews. Anyway.
You don't even give yourself the credit of being above Hamilton.
No, but we were sold out for the whole Broadway run.
That's very good.
But one of the things we did is we took out an ad that actually said, Penn and Teller on Broadway, terrible. Quote, Donald Trump. We used him saying terrible as part of our ad.
That's amazing. I love you so much. I told you that recently.
And he said we were terrible and that we were also... He made it very clear that we were bombing on Broadway, sold out. He also said in a tweet, which I thought was really wicked, crazy funny.
Yeah.
He said that I was entirely unknown before Celebrity Apprentice. And I wrote a tweet back that said, it's called Celebrity Apprentice. So never before.
Well, when you brought up Blue Man Group, I thought you were going to talk about, I realize I'm hurtling you into another story here. I thought you were going to talk about the Captain Crunch thing that...
Oh, yeah. I have been helpful to the Blue Mirror.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to talk about,
but
then you didn't.
I don't want to talk about the Captain Crunch thing because in a weird way, it gives away one of their magic tricks.
I know.
And I don't want to do that.
That's why I was getting a little nervous.
But we're circling all the way back around.
Okay.
So when I wrote with Mischief Theater? Mischief Theater, I think. The Wrong Boys is what I call them.
The Wrong Boys.
Mischief Theater is correct.
Mischief Theater.
The Wrong Boys.
The Wrong Boys is what I call them. When I
spelled B-O-I-S.
Yeah. Teller and I wrote Magic Goes Wrong with The Wrong Boys.
Yeah.
And it played in London and was doing very well. It got very good reviews, was selling very well.
Yeah.
And then this virus called COVID came along and we crashed and burned.
Flashed.
Now, I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that the worst thing about COVID was that our show, Magic Goes Wrong, closed. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's one of the worst things.
One of the worst things. It was a meat cute that killed 6 million people. That's a real quote that I have from you explaining COVID to someone in a joke. You went, it was a meat cute that killed 6 million people.
So I went and saw them rehearsing magic tricks that I'd written and I'd done, the sawing in half.
Yeah.
The bloody sawing, as we call it.
Yeah.
Over there, it means something different, but for us, it meant actually bloody.
Yeah.
I saw them doing that material that I wrote, and I watched that and watched it with an audience. So I already had done that, and that was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But this year, on Tuesday, in Englewood, New Jersey, at the Bergen Performing Arts Center, maybe? Something. You don't know. Why are you acting like you're thinking? You don't have the information.
I like correcting you.
Yeah, I know you do, but you don't have the information anyway.
I'm a happy mix of you and my mother, and that is not a happy mix.
And we will see them do all this material. But this is all coming around to a question I started 40 minutes ago, which is Teller.
Yeah.
Bless him, bless him, bless him. Maybe you'll understand what a wonderful thing this was. When you were first going to do Young and Moxie,
yeah.
I said to Teller, I was asking him if you guys could use, with our blessing, the red ampersand cut off at the bottom, which we use for all our advertising.
Which, by the way, we did end up using, and then Cameron trashed it.
Mm-hmm.
He did not like the idea of using it. I was like...
Well, anyway, you asked... For Cameron,
yes.
If you could use the red ampersand, which because Teller and I have done a lot of work to make that identified with us, and because Glenn has done a lot of work, mm-hmm. I asked Glenn and Teller, could you use that ampersand?
Mm-hmm.
I believe legally you could have anyway, but with our full heart behind it.
Yeah.
And Teller said, of course. And then I asked this question that I get the most, I guess it's not surprising at all, because he is your Uncle Teller.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the first in the world to hold you
outside
after doctors and your mother and father.
You're being very literal. He was the first in the world to hold me outside of doctors and my family.
But that's a big deal.
I know. I'm saying that you're right. I just liked how you phrased it.
Yeah.
He was the first in the world, but no, he wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that the first non-family, non-medical member is an important thing.
It's important.
And we have a beautiful picture of Teller.
And then he built my crib.
Hospital. He did.
Yeah.
I said to him, is there any material that we have that you would be happy with Young and Moxie performing? And Teller said instantly, how about the cups and balls with clear plastic cups? That plays really nice in a 60-seat theater. Now, when you told Cameron, he was pretty shocked.
Yeah.
Because that is probably the bit we're most associated with, at least in Scotland.
Scotland.
And then I had the incredible experience of watching my offspring do my part in the cups and balls with Teller.
Yeah.
Because Teller was teaching.
You're freaking out. Imagine how I was feeling. I got Penn watching me on the side with Teller kind of giving me a little side eye if I messed up the moves.
Well, Teller taught it to you.
I know.
Which is why I did it better than Cameron. But, But what did it feel like to be on stage at Edinburgh, which is a great honor to begin with?
Yeah.
You know, Piff, the Wrong Boys.
Yeah. They've all done it.
Go on and on and on of people. I mean, all of what are they called? Absinthe, that whole group. They all started at Edinburgh, and the boy with tape on his mouth, which is now called
Tape Face.
He started
boy with
there.
Tape on his mouth.
That's what he originally called.
I know.
The boy with tape on his face, which I like so much more. And he made me so sad because I was backstage with him and I saw him right after Edinburgh and he was and he was so, so good and so sweet. And I saw him here after he'd done America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
And he actually said to me, this all ties together.
Yeah.
He said to me, I said, you know, the boy with tape on his face was a really nice name. And he said, yeah, but Tape Face is better for the brand.
Mm.
I rest my case. So You were on stage doing...
Penn and Teller Cups and Balls.
Yeah.
And I, my proudest moment was writing a joke that you laughed at for that bit.
What was that?
The aluminium joke.
Oh, the aluminium joke was a
good
joke.
You laughed at that joke. And I was like, this is the highlight of my life. I can go no higher than writing a joke for Penn and Teller Cups and Balls with clear plastic cups that you laughed at.
It was a good joke. Good joke. Fine joke.
It was a fine joke.
Really good. And there I was watching my offspring and a guy do cups and balls on stage at Edinburgh. You can imagine that was an emotional experience.
Yeah.
And now... October 28th, and I don't know where, but doesn't really matter. Hondro will do Nail Gun for the first time.
All in Spanish?
Well, yes.
He speaks a good amount of English.
Right, but he'd be working in Spain.
Okay. So you don't know where. It could have been Australia.
But it isn't. he'll be doing Nail Gun, and it's an incredible feeling because I believe. And I think you might agree with me that Hondro is probably, certainly, one of the best living magicians in the world today.
He's a very smart man.
Even better than a magician, he's a magical mind. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I don't know whether you mean that by he creates magic or he just has a really good mind.
Well, he creates magic. As a matter of fact, Hondro is the only one we can really, really, really work with the way we did Johnny Thompson.
Yeah.
As you know, Hondro flies over whenever we have Fool Us or an important stuff.
Forgets half his luggage.
And he didn't forget it. They lost it. And
I didn't say he forgot it.
And he goes over all our tricks with us.
Yeah. I want to mention, I have a very lucky privilege to be able to sit in the room with you when you guys, the three of you guys, are creating magic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in my head, it's a very magical experience that is very, you know, prestigious and special. It's the three of you staring at the floor.
It is. It is.
And then occasionally you go, ah, shit, that wouldn't work.
Yeah, there's a lot of staring at the floor. Although I will say, do more staring at the floor than Teller and Hondro. They at least look up once in a while.
Every once in a while, you put your head on the back seat and go, no.
So Hondro will be performing Nail Gun. You know what made me really, really happy?
What?
This is kind of me? The best, you always, the best of all worlds. This is the best of all worlds. When Hondro called me up and said, Nail Gun is one of the greatest magic tricks ever. And wow, is it hard. It's really, really hard. The talk and the physicality of it is really, really hard.
Yeah.
And Matt Donnelly asked, can we do Nail Gun and Foolers? He said, because that's one of my favorite bits you've ever done.
Yeah.
And I said, yes. And Matt Donnelly said, we were looking at the videos and everybody said, wow, that's a really, really, really good bit. And then we worked on it. We all said, wow, this is really hard. So Hondro took 6 weeks of working every day to get halfway through.
Yeah.
And he's cramming real hard, doing some real woodshed to get through the rest. So that is the best when someone says to me, that's a beautifully written bit. And it's also really hard to perform.
This circles back to your sister saying that you're a writer. Yeah.
And so all the bits that we wrote are doing very, very well in foolerslive.com on the road. Mm-hmm. And that that pleases me beyond belief. Mm-hmm. And seeing you do Cups and Balls was absolutely over.
We didn't do any other Penn and Teller tricks, did we?
No, and we gave you three others.
I know. And
but Cameron didn't want to do them.
I know. I don't know if he's listening, so I'm not going to...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, we gave you one bit that I am so goddamn proud of. I was thrilled with this, and we were doing it for the first time on Fool Us.
Yeah.
And Fool Us won't air for a while. It starts airing October 24th.
It was a bit that we would have been, you would have been yelled at for stealing from us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted that.
Yeah. And it was really, really, really good. And you decided not to do it. Then Teller,
No. He decided not to.
And then
to.
Teller gave you another bit that I think would have been fine. And but you ended up doing only one bit together, right, really? Cups and Balls?
I was on stage, but defined together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was obviously the favorite.
And we will be doing
Wait, I did Stupid.
Right, that's my bit.
Yeah.
So I also saw you doing that.
Yeah.
And that's also a really hard bit.
Even saying the word stupid is hard now. Because that trick traumatized me.
It's a hard trick. It's a hard trick to do.
There are lots of
stuff that can go wrong.
Were you there? Did I tell you the guy cut his hand on stage?
No.
Did I tell you about this?
No.
He was bleeding down his fucking arm.
From the scissors?
From the scissors.
How do you cut?
I said, make sure these are real scissors. Because for some reason, I don't know why I did this, I had them inspect the scissors and not my hands.
Mm-hmm.
You inspect your hands. They never inspect the scissors, which is probably the reason that you don't have them inspect the scissors.
And no one has cut themselves on my hands.
I know.
But they are weapons.
Ka-cha!
Ka-cha! Kung fu! Kung fu! Kung fu!
He's quoting his own Valorant moan. That joke comes from forcing you to play a first-person shooter that you were not good at.
No, I was not.
I mean...
And that's when you first said to me, and it touched my heart, Dad, please stop dying. How'd they cut themselves? They examined the scissors?
They examined the scissors. I said, make sure they're real scissors. He took the scissors, took his hand open like this, and cut the skin in between...
With the scissors?
With the scissors to make sure they were real.
The webbing between the thumb and index?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you don't want to be cut there. Bleeds like a bastard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? I didn't even see
who'd you have on stage? Sid Vicious?
No, some fucking masochist, I guess. Maybe it was Bruce Wayne. He's wiping his hands off of the nicotine, and then he cuts his fucking hand.
You said make sure these are real scissors?
I said make sure these are...
And he cut the webbing on his hand?
Fucking cut the webbing in between his hands, and the best part is I didn't realize. He was bleeding down his wrist here, bleeding down, and I didn't realize until there was blood on the rope.
Blood on the rope?
I
the lesser known Bob Dylan.
Which sounds like a killer name. I went to go straighten out, you know, I did the thing, and I went to go straighten them out. I'm not going to say what it is. I did the thing, and I straightened it out. And there was a little red part at the end, and I go, where did this come from? I look over, and he's bleeding down his arm. And the next thing that happens is someone yeets, a tissue box at him. And he starts cleaning up the tissue.
Someone in the audience had a tissue box?
One of those little tiny ones. Yeah.
Little packets, yeah.
I'm sorry I called it a box. But
no, I was just, because all of a sudden, I went into my mind, you could do a trick with a borrowed tissue box if you can count on that being in the audience.
I'll pay for that guy to be in the audience every night. But
Teller carries those little packets.
Yeah, of and then...
Little old lady packets.
Yeah, it's very Diane Benjamin. I'm sorry, Grandma, I love you. I couldn't compose myself for the rest of the trick.
I would imagine, yeah.
Terrible. I was laughing because I got so nervous. I was like, he's ending my whole career right here, right now. I guess it's not a career yet, but...
if you play Edinburgh, it's a career.
He's ending my show right here, right now, and I can't get through my damn script. I was turning to people and literally going, "What the fuck?" And then Cameron was like, "You can't hand them this. Like, you can't make them cut the rope anymore," because he thought he cut himself when I make them cut the rope.
Yeah, yeah,
and.
If someone, I believe, and I've tried to teach you this, that anything that happens on stage in your show is your fault.
Yeah.
Simple. But I don't think you can say that it is likely that someone will take scissors and cut the webbing of their fingers.
Yeah, yeah. And it never happened again.
No, of course. Never in history, nor before.
I mean, you hand them the scissors, right? You hand them the scissors.
I don't say make sure they're real by cutting the webbing of your hand.
I stopped saying make sure they're real. I did do that. I had to stop saying make sure they're real.
You shouldn't have to, but okay.
I don't want blood on the stage again.
Exactly.
Also an unknown Bob Dylan script.
We got a woman up on stage for our knife-throwing act once. We put her up against the board, and she just passed out. She just crumbled into a heap.
Because you threw a knife at her, right?
No, I didn't get a chance to. She took all the fun out of it. She was, I guess, people come to Vegas, and they don't sleep. And they use alcohol.
And
she was also diabetic. And,
she was diabetic?
Yeah. All of that put her in. And I guess nervousness. She just collapsed. We've had people. Teller had a guy walk up on stage for the needles, walk up the stairs, and then go right to his knees and start walking to his knees. And Teller just turned him around and walked back to his seat.
You should have kept him. That would have been great.
No, I don't think it would have been. When you get a real nut, you want to get them off stage as quickly as you can. So, you have also...
What I want to talk about was the most Fringe experience I have ever had, which I've never been to Fringe before, and I don't know if I will again, but nothing can top this.
But you were invited back.
I was invited back. And the most Fringe experience I've ever had, because I can't think of anything else, we were running flyers out, so we were handing out flyers, and it was 10 minutes before the show, and I had to go change, because I was wearing, like, common clothes and not my show clothes. So,
not your working suit.
Not my working suit, which was a very nice outfit. I loved it very much. I go backstage to change. It wasn't backstage. It was a closet that they had given me. I go to take off, you know, my pants and my shirt, and I'm sitting there basically half naked. A guy walks in on me, and he goes, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I have to shave." And I was like, "Excuse me? There's no sink. You know, how are you going to do this? There's no water. There's no nothing." And then, as I am still putting on my pantaloons.
Pantalones. Los pantalones.
Ah, los pantalones. He starts taking off a fake beard. So, not only was he not shaving, he had walked in on me while I was changing and then took off a fake beard. And as I'm buttoning up my shirt and putting on my nice jacket, he goes, wait, I know you. You're from that magic show." And I was like, thank you. Because what do I say at that point? He's watching me change. And then, you know, I finished putting on my stuff. And he goes, "You know, I know you. You should know me." And hands me a flyer for his show. And he gives me the plot. And he goes, "We're covering one of the most infamous murder mysteries in the UK. And I go, "Jack the Ripper?" And he goes, "No, the one that killed my grandmother." And I was...
Your grandmother was a hooker?
What response is there to that? I went, "Oh, shit, I'm so sorry." And I walk out. I never saw him again.
You didn't go see his show.
I didn't want to see the guy who killed his grandmother.
No, that's not what he said. He didn't say he killed his grandmother. He said the murderer killed his grandmother.
He's doing a show on the guy who killed his grandmother.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the most Fringe thing you can get, right? At least in my head.
The fact that he's flyering in a broom closet is pretty good, too.
Any chance you can get, you know?
Sure. Well, you had your show sold out the whole time,
right? We did, yeah. Yeah.
We were just in Chicago at Sideshow Gelato.
Sideshow Gelato with Jay. I don't know his last name. What's his last name? Jay?
Bliznick.
Bliznick. That's a good name.
Yeah,
Jay Bliznick at Sideshow Gelato.
Yeah, which is in Chicago. And it's a great place. Did you like it?
You're
going to go back there and do a week, right?
I'm supposed to do a week. And my favorite part is... I'm sorry, Jay, but I am not looking forward. I am looking forward to it, but the part I'm most looking forward to is that Tony's going to put a guy on me.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want a bodyguard.
Tony, when you came in.
Fitzpatrick. Yeah. What's his last name?
Tony Fitzpatrick.
I was right. Okay.
Artist in Chicago, in MoMA, and he's in the Art Institute of Chicago.
He's
very, very well established. Chicago guy, but a tough guy. And when you look at your Uncle Tony, he's
Uncle Tony.
Nose broken many times.
Yeah.
Really big heavyweight boxer. As he brought Mox to the table, he said, "You're safe here, kid. There's 50 years of jail time sitting at this table with you."
It was wild. It was great. And then I talked to his children.
Mm-hmm. He would call them your cousins.
My cousins,
Gabby and Max. Max is an actor. Max Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, he got out of...
The Dick Wolf shows out of Chicago.
Yeah, he got out of college recently, right? Is that what you were saying? And then Gabby's a writer, I believe.
Gabby Fitzpatrick. And then we did Sideshow Gelato, where they have Penn Gelato, which is the gelato they made for me.
I don't know
which is chocolate, blueberry, and
cayenne.
It's really good.
And then they have Moxie's Triumph.
What was Moxie's Triumph?
It was chocolate wasabi blue raspberry.
Chocolate wasabi blue raspberry. I didn't try it. I should have. That's wrong. He also has Teller's, which is curry.
Which is curry, which I did try, mm-hmm. And it was good.
And then there's, of course, his pistachio, which is the greatest.
I ended up eating 2 cups of ice cream, gelato, sorry. Mm-hmm. And it was cookies and cream.
Uh-huh.
And then I also had a chocolate peanut butter one.
Yeah, boy. But that was not vegan, so your annoying father did not have that.
I know. You're an insufferable vegan, is what you call yourself.
And we did this card trick, which we call smart ass.
I called it Moxie and Penn.
Right.
But
Moxie and Penn is a better name. And we will be doing that in Jersey Tuesday. You've learned to do impersonations and accents from your Uncle Tony, who can't do them. You think you're doing a Jersey accent, you aren't.
I'm not trying
to. You think you're doing a Chicago accent, and you're not.
What Chicago accent am I trying?
Oh, well, you would when you go with Tony.
With Tony. I was copying you.
Who can't do accent?
So I'm not... No. Don't throw Tony under the bus here. Throw yourself under the bus. It's your fault.
My fault.
Because we were calling the Uber outside of doing this news anchor after we just wrote this trick. And you went, "We'll do it for Tony."
I don't know why I said it like that, but I did say it like that. But yeah, we were in a green room, also called broom closet, backstage.
Where a guy tried to shave.
At WGN. Which is Bozo, but you don't even know Bozo the Clown, right?
I know of him. People talk about him. I've never seen his show.
And David Arquette has just bought all the rights to Bozo.
Weird choice.
David Arquette, all the rights to Bozo. But Bozo originated WGN.
Who plays Bozo?
It was a guy. And it's soon going to be David Arquette, but it was a guy. And people should know his name. Someone in the chat knows the name of
Some nerdy guy in the chat. Give us the name of the person who plays Bozo the Clown. Yeah.
Did you want Larry Harmon or Willard Scott?
Oh, Willard Scott was it. Yeah. And Larry Harmon was the original Bozo. And Willard Scott did
There was a guy before, but he's the main guy people know.
Yeah.
Chat, you're awesome.
What'd you say?
I said, "Thank you, chat. You're awesome." You.
Was it Chad or was it you?
Both.
Okay.
Thank you, Ready Rich. You're awesome.
But it originated at WGN.
Yeah.
And we were back there with Glenn. And Teller. And you and me. We were talking to Teller. Boy, Teller's smart.
That's the implication of we were back there with.
Yeah. We were talking to Teller about what trick we could do in Jersey. What Penn and Teller trick would be a good trick for us to do. And we threw around some ideas. And then Teller got the idea of taking a bit that I do solo and making it a two-person bit with you. And
it's hard.
Boy, the magic. If you come see this in Jersey, we'll be doing it other times too.
Yeah.
It's a mind blower. I think it would fool me. It's a really good trick. And we do it together. And of course, we interrupt one another and we squabble as
Which
we do.
Which is our relationship.
Yeah, we do. We do that really. I think it's a really, really good trick. Anyway, I wanted to get to this. Teller has neighbors. Poor people. Talk about long suffering. One of them got in touch with Teller.
Very similar to Glenn.
And said, "We are having a wedding."
It was a birthday party.
We're having a birthday party. And we want a magician.
I want to mention.
To stroll around.
The birthday wasn't that day. The birthday was in 2 months.
Okay, but I'm trying to set this up.
I know. Go ahead.
For you.
Set it up.
And they asked Teller, because Teller's known as a magician, if they could recommend a magician to do walk-around magic at their gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that Teller just said, well, if you want walk-around magic, if you're lucky enough, the best you can get is Moxie Gillette.
Mm-hmm.
So Teller's now your agent. He's your Colonel Parker. He booked you.
Yeah.
And tell me about doing that gig. You haven't really talked about it much.
Well,
Mike Close, the great Mike Close.
Mike Close helped me out. We had a couple sessions, me and Mike Close, together talking about my ambitious card routine, which is a very basic ambitious card routine. There's nothing special about it, but he vamped it up himself, and then gave me a couple of other tricks that I was to do with this gig.
And he helped through the patter too, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I have very little walk around magic.
Mm-hmm.
So again, in a very Johnny Thompson fashion, I went, yes, of course.
Yes, of course I can do that, yeah.
I'll get out of a straight jacket if you want to. Yeah. And I did the gig. I arrived. First off, you know, I got dropped off. I tried to ring the doorbell. I knocked. No one came. I waited there for about 10 minutes just waiting. So I was like, I'm allowed in. Just walked in. Walked into this thing. There's a cutout of the guy that I'm working for. I've had a couple calls with him about what I'm to wear, where is it, what does he want, all this. I've had a couple calls with him. There's a cutout of this guy right at the door. And I walk in. I'm like, hi, I'm looking for this guy. I go and he greets me and he's like, this is Moxie Gillette, Penn's child. Here it is. This is... he said that. This is, you know, what do you need help? I'll walk you around. I'm like, no, I'm okay. Thank you. I look around and they're blasting country music with a couple of Trump hats and there's a bar. I go, these are Teller's neighbors? Couple of Trump hats, blasting country music, unseasoned food. not an ounce of seasoning in this food. So I start doing magic.
My mother made unseasoned food, and I enjoyed it very much.
Well, there's a right way to do it. But
okay, well, let's not.
It was shrimp. That's what it was.
You're talking about
the stuff that doesn't matter.
This is when you become a professional. If you talk to Jonesy about any job he ever had, all he talks about is the food. He will not talk about the art of being on stage. He just talks about the food. So yeah. You've become a jaded pro about 15 years before I did.
Look, I wanted to set the scene for you and my working quality was. So, Trumpies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I texted you this info that they were Trumpies, and you said, good quote.
I said, their hats may be red, but their money is green.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very showbiz.
So I start walking around. The first people I walk up to were, I think, flight attendants.
Uh-huh.
And they loved me. I was able to give them... I have this little card that Brogan made. I don't know if they're listening, but Brogan made these little tarot cards. You know these.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote my number on the back of all of them. And then I gave them his little business cards. And a couple stickers.
Yeah, did you work from there?
No, actually.
You will.
I will, but... you know, they were telling me how they throw all these parties, whatever. So I start walking around and do these magic. They're all drunk, all of this. So very easy going around for me. And
Not always.
But they were, you know, quiet and they were patient and...
Oh, good.
Which is not a common quality for drinkers.
Uh-huh.
I just mean that they...
They're having a good time.
Yeah. The best part is that I remember I walked up to this older couple and they go, you know, Teller lives down the street of Penn and Teller. And I go, really? I have no idea. I had no idea that was there. And they go, have you met him? And I go, a couple of times. And he goes, well, do you know Penn too? And I was like, not as well.
It's pretty great.
And then the guy that he hired me comes over and he goes, this is Penn Gillette's child. And I was like, you ruined my joke. So, whatever.
How long did you do?
I did about an hour and a half. Maybe a little bit more than that, hour 45.
Yep. It's funny. You asked for a certain amount of money. We don't need to talk about that. You asked for a certain amount of money. And Glenn said, when I asked him about that amount, he said, I would have asked for, gave me another amount.
Yeah.
And it turns out they tipped you to come out to the amount Glenn would have asked for.
With, with other tips that after that too. So I got basically double what I asked for.
Yeah.
But because I was trying to decide what my time was worth.
Yeah.
And I guess I decided it was less than.
They decided it was worth.
They decided what it was worth.
Which is good. Good.
Which
is, if you always, always get paid a little less than they would have paid you, they will always hire you again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of people thinking they got a bargain. There's people I know in show business who really hate it when a promoter makes money. I want promoters to make more money than I made on the whole tour.
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to be so happy that all they want to do is hire me again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
So I will tell you, I have tried to learn walk-around magic.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent hours. I've never been able to do it. I just don't have the personality to make it work. I can't. I have real trouble doing close-up
magic. I don't know who gave me the personality to do it then, because it wasn't Mom.
But you are real comfortable doing it, right?
I don't know where or when I learned this, but I know how to interrupt someone properly.
Maybe. Because you interrupt me
every
second of your goddamn life. Yeah.
Shut up.
But you enjoyed it?
I did enjoy it. They were very nice. They said a lot of concerning things that I did not agree with.
But I've got to tell you, Mox.
I know.
No, you don't know.
Okay.
It's really good for you to get outside of the bubble. Because you live with us and all our friends and all of your friends in this bubble that's politically and socially very, very different from these people you're working. And it's very good for you to understand
that these
are really, really good people that just happen to think different things from
you. No, I know. I'm not bashing them. They were great. They were great people to walk around with. I'm saying that we had a good time. Being different kinds of people.
And you disagree with them, and that's fine. That's one of the things that we're...
I was not rude. They were
really,
not rude to
it's me. It's really changed from my lifetime to your lifetime. It used to be that you could disagree with someone very, very strongly and still interact with them, still break bread with them, still work with them.
Yeah.
But I was a very disturbing article in the New York Times that is kind of ties in with Reddy's book of people are actually moving to different states because they disagree with the politics of the people around them. There's a story about...
I'm saying I had a great time. I was trying to, set the scene that I typically was a little bit worried about.
And would you like to do this more? Do walk around magic close?
I did a gig for Mom that I'm still waiting to be paid for. That's never going to happen. When she did her poker tournament, I worked at Area 15 and did a walk around magic there. And it was good. It was good.
Well, right now, the only job you have coming up is in Jersey with me on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You don't have any other jobs coming up. I will tell people, and be very careful. Watch me. Tell me to shut up really quickly here.
All right.
But I'll tell people that they might very much enjoy watching Fool Us this season. The first episode might catch their attention. And I'll also say, since we plug anyone who's on the show, I'm done with that.
Okay.
Anyone who's on the show, we like to plug stuff, that you are available for close-up magic. And I would think in the Vegas area, you're very reasonably priced, extremely reasonably priced in the Vegas area, but you would even be willing to travel, right? You would travel
I'm
to do a close-up magic, walking around, doing stuff, and even maybe
and,
a
well,
parlor.
I guess we don't have a time period for it, but I guess I'm also doing gelato, so I don't know when that will come.
Next summer, you're going to be playing sideshow.
I don't know how long I'll stay there, but I'll do whatever he wants me to.
And I'll tell you if you...
And they're making a new flavor for me.
Yes, based on Moxie Soda.
Which is either going to be so good or the worst thing I've ever tasted.
I will love the Moxie Soda because
Jay, if you're listening, make a vegan version.
Yeah, I really enjoy the beverage Moxie, but it has caffeine, so I don't like to drink it because of that. As you swill down your energy drink.
Well, do you want me to be awake or not for your show?
Okay. So you're awake for the show. So is there anything else you want to talk about?
I was going to talk about I don't know. No.
In all your adventures, it's just no?
Yeah.
Well, you played Edinburgh.
Played Edinburgh.
Right. Yeah. We got to. You're trying to say it right every time. Edinburgh. I should really learn.
No. The Scottish people have determined that you're allowed to say it wrong. Only you.
Good.
I'm trying to learn. There's probably going to be angry people that are telling me I'm still saying it wrong. And I'm sorry that I'm American.
Like Van Gogh.
Van Gogh. We were watching, Doctor Who. We were watching Doctor Who and they say Van Gogh.
Van Gogh.
I don't know when we leave tomorrow.
I hope we do. I hope we do a lot. If you want a book, Moxie and Penn, we can probably do.
We could probably
with just stuff in our suits and stuff. We could probably do a good 45, wouldn't you think?
Being too generous to the both of us.
Maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. But Moxie and Penn will be performing.
Look,
with
I'll do all the social.
I'll do all the socialing.
After the show, I talk to people a lot. That's something you complimented me on, that I talk to people.
You're really good. You're really good at that. Yeah, you were really good at all your
thank you.
Edinburgh shows.
You know, it was the first time that people, you know, I'd always seen you growing up, that you sit, you don't do it anymore, but you sit out in the lobby, and you talk to people, and you take pictures and sign things or whatever they want. And that was the first time that people had waited for me to come out on stage, for me to come out after stage and talk to people and sign things.
And sign stuff and take pictures.
Pictures.
Take a picture.
A picture.
Yeah, at Sideshow Gelato, we were both scooping gelato.
And signing things.
And signing things.
Photos.
And doing magic tricks.
And I was talking to people and I was able to use a very limited amount of sign language to talk to the deaf magician.
That's right, you did. He's a magician?
He has magic on his shirt, and he was taught.
You don't have to be a magician.
He was a magician. He told me on his phone.
Good. Anything else? Ready, Rich?
Nope.
That was Penn Sunday School.
That was Penn Sunday School.
Cha cha cha.
And to our listening,
you become naked. Now, you know, a lot of people are going to write and say, Penn, you had Moxie on, and then you told stories. We wanted to hear Moxie talk more.
When did we get Moxie?
They're going to say that. They're going to say, why didn't you let Mox talk?
Yeah.
And I would say, it's my offspring. I do what I want.
Shut up. Stop making that noise.
Hey, Matt Donnelly, you got anybody to thank? You know we love you.
All right, it's time to thank the people who make this podcast possible. Huge shout out to Erica P. Heartless. Mind Reeling seems dirty, and I kind of like it. Harry, the Gorillagician. Don Dottie. Kevin Burke. David McLaughlin. Old Bear Greg. Charlie Sheets says trans rights. No shit, Sherlock. And Shelley Ruger. Timothy Carver. Get well, Tim. Jennifer loves Penn like Penn loves Dylan. Steven Bracegirdle wants to know if you're saying Magic Castle or Magic Asshole. Great question. Coach Rat Bastard. Emery, the Extra Long Shoreman. Will Jason. David, I want to figure your cunt Brenner. Tristan Connett. Mason Gooch. Sagebrush. Matthew Mishu. Jason Andrew Davidson. Peter B. Clark. Matt Williams. Soapy Fresh. Brad Sherlag. Mike Cavanaugh. Rafiki. Steve Feldman. Jonathan P. NewRuleFX.com. Eric M. Ryan. Chris Tehachapi, Luke McKinney. David, insert meta joke here, Ruse. Little Mandar. Is it a scoop for picking up crazy cat ladies or a scoop that looks like a crazy cat lady? Jobeth R. Bowers, a.k.a. Judgmentalist and the show Between Two Minds. Adam Stickney, Sax Guy Jimmy D, Nathan Julian, Jeremy in Shanghai, Christopher Harris, Petty Officer Scoop, Daniel, I have a stepladder because my real ladder left home when I was a child. William Wengreen. David K., Blue Drinks Film says, clear your cookies, baby. Brandon Knapp and Nick Dingman. Thank you so much.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.